back, everybody, to another day of trading on the floor of Dynasty Wall Street. Russ, John, Travis here yet again to use DynastyTradeCalculator.com and all of its calculating and ranking goodness to help you better your rosters, increase your dynasty value, and then leading into the point scoring season at the just best you can be, because that's what we want to see. We want to see all of you at your best or worst, which is kind of at the best also. So we are actually talking about a quarterback this week, which we took a week off, and I believe Travis is kicking us off at quarterback. Who do we got?
How about some Justin Fields, you know?
I'm like, let me take the low hanging fruit. Like, no, I honestly, like, I don't think I want to talk about Justin Fields.
No. Well, and really, I think it's less about necessarily just him and about an entire tier or group of quarterbacks that are in this weird state of limbo and this revolving door, musical chairs, whatever you want to call it, this game that the NFL is playing with, moving quarterbacks last year who were barely good enough to start into backup roles or, trading players away to maybe backup roles, but they might burst into starting roles. I think there's just the NFL has a bit of a quarterback issue, at least in the back half of the starting teams. Would you all agree?
Yeah,
just a little bit. And so I wanted to talk about that situation as a whole, but also just Fields, because his situation is probably the most unique out of the ones who have moved this offseason, given that, you know, he went from being, hey, well, he, you know, somebody's trying to move the first round pick for Justin Fields to conditional fourth. And he's joining Russell Wilson with the Steelers. And the assumption for many is that Russell Wilson is still the starter. Sources have said as of right now, that's still the plan. That's fine and dandy. But if we just get the same version of Russell Wilson, I'm not sure that version of Russell Wilson is going to keep the job for the entire season. And the Steelers might want to see what they have in Justin Fields in a situation where he's not, you know, with a franchise that's ruined 100% of their career quarterbacks since the beginning of time. So, yeah, I just wanted to see where you guys are with him, because his value dropped for sure. Like last week, given the upside of, hey, he could land somewhere else and be a starter, to this week, hey, he's probably not, but maybe if everything goes right, he breaks into a starting role late in the season. So, he was kind of a lock for first, at least most conversations last week in Superflex Dynasty formats. But now, on the calculator, like him, or let's say the 2.01 in rookie drafts this year, Justin Fields, or pick 13 overall in super flex formats. And we can try a different pick if this answer is entirely too easy for you guys.
He's a backup quarter. Like, it hurts my brain that he, like, part of me is just trying to be like, this has to be the Bears just fumbling negotiations. Like, they were probably asking for a first plus. And you can't do that when you screw up this badly. And you can't do that when it's so obvious that you want him gone, that all of a sudden everyone else took care of their business. And now there were just no teams left and the demand was gone. So the price was gone. And I'm still shocked the Vikings ended up making draft moves, which make it looks like they're going to trade up. But like the Broncos, like there's still other teams that didn't go through free agency to fill their quarterback position that didn't try for Justin Fields. Like it's crazy to me that he's not a starter. He's shown that he is, to me, better than some of the starting quarterbacks, but it is what it is. He is where he is. He's a backup at this point. I'm not giving the 201, even though the upside is still there. We've seen him like with a whatever team, he still won 7 games last year, and that was through injuries. And he's a backup. I'm not giving the 201 for him right now. I don't think there's a reason for it right now.
John?
I might give the 201 for him. I'm not completely convinced that he is the backup on the Steelers versus a starter on another team. I don't think there's a rule saying that the Steelers can't turn around and trade him, right?
Like, yeah, but in what world are they going to have a trade partner for this?
I mean, come draft night, if there's a team out there that's expecting to get a quarterback, doesn't go their way, they're not able to trade up, things like that, the person they want gets taken, I think it's unlikely. I think it is unlikely, but I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility yet.
If the Steelers get like a third, do you think the Bears GM gets fired on the spot?
I think it would be friggin' hilarious. That's all I want to see is the Steelers mainly that's what I want to see is the Steelers like turn around and trade a player they just traded for to get a better return and have done nothing. Like it would just make me laugh.
Yeah.
Be like Dwight Schrute buying Andy's car and washing it and trying to, yeah, perfect.
Exactly.
For all the listeners who actually watch The Office, that's an old show now. So sorry for those of you who are not old parts like us.
I don't understand the reference.
Sorry. Well, and Russ, you just missed out on an entire generation of goodness. Sorry about that. But
I will say I would very much contemplate giving the 201. 203, 204, sure. 201's a little bit tougher, but I still like Fields. I think Fields is better than Russell Wilson.
I love that you brought that up because, you know, the Broncos, they threw Russell Wilson in a dumpster. They were like, hey, we're going to pay you like $40 million just this year and then like 50 next year to just not play for us. And the Steelers, have you looked at how much they're paying him? Because it's like $3 million
or something like that. It's like dirt cheap.
Yeah, it's under that. It's below that. So it's like it's just absolute $0 pretty much by quarterback standards. So if he's a head case, like he allegedly has been in certain cases and not the same version of Russell Wilson that we saw in the Seahawks, he's definitely not going to be the guy there for long at all. So they probably got him in and were like, oh my gosh, he is legit just trying to be Mr. Unlimited in here. We need to bring somebody else in. And we're like, okay, let's go add some Justin Fields. So I wouldn't be surprised at all if Justin Fields, one, is the starter week one. Ooh. And two, actually just does okay. He's not ever at this point, it doesn't look like, historically speaking, analytically speaking, doesn't look like he's ever going to be an elite passer by NFL standards now. But if he can add value with his legs, as he's already done, and get just a little bit better than he was at the Bears, again, they did their best to ruin him. But the Steelers, who have done pretty good at not ruining players outside of Kenny Pickett, who wasn't good in the first place, can do something to rehab his career. I think taking a shot in there with an early second is fair value. And especially if you get, like you just said, into that 2.03, 2.04 range, which is specifically interesting to the tier of quarterbacks I'm going to ask you about when comparing him to Justin Fields, because there's kind of a range of ambiguous situations, or they're old, or we're not really sure how long they're going to be around or producing in the league. But if you pick the right quarterback in your league, you automatically have a plus value starter that you probably got for super cheap, in many cases, cheaper than, an early second round pick. And so I wanted to compare him to a number of players, if you guys are ready to make your lists.
List is the reason I didn't want to talk Justin Fields, because I was scared what I would pull up. But real quick, before you get into the list, I have to say that I have Justin Fields on a bunch of my fantasy teams, my dynasty teams, and I got a bunch of offers when the news went down. The most valuable offer I received was Aiden O'Connell and Sam Howell for Justin Fields.
Man, people see, this is exactly why. But I mean, no one's going to say yes to that deal. People are just lowballing, hoping people panic. But this is exactly why we have these conversations, because gauging what true fair value is for somebody like this is interesting, because you might want to move for something like, if somebody did actually grow some and throw an early second out there, that might make sense. But we'll see. So I'm curious to where you guys have this crew of quarterbacks. So and pull this up if I can. All right, great podcasting here. Okay, so Justin Fields to kick off the list, and then I've got a kind of a mix of old and young ish options here for you, but Baker Mayfield. Then I'm going to go with Derek Carr. And then Kirk Cousins, Aaron Rodgers, and Russell Wilson, because, well, he's on the same team. So I'll say it again. We've got Justin Fields, Baker Mayfield, Derek Carr, Kirk Cousins, Aaron Rodgers, and Russell Wilson.
My number one was really easy.
Yeah. I'm ready. I mean, Cousins doesn't belong on this list to me. He's well above this list.
I love to hear that. I was just so
same.
He was below all these guys before he got signed, by the way, on the calculator for months.
Fellas.
Yeah.
Spot matters.
Yeah, and the injury. I get it. Yeah. Now that I think about it, but still it's wrong. Cousins at one. I have Baker at two because he's good enough and completely secure. Like, there's no worry for the next two-ish years with Baker. And then after that is when it starts to get iffy, pretty much. I put Aaron Rodgers three because it looks like he is not going to be running for vice president. So
that was hilarious.
Yeah. And while, you know, him as a human being is whatever, he's still a very good quarterback and has good receiving options on the Jets. So like I'm still there for him as a fantasy football asset. They just need to change the turf in MetLife for real. After that, it got real dodgy. And really, it's just, I'm still putting Wilson above Fields, and they're my four and five. Like, to me, Wilson is the starter. I know Wilson is not what he used to be at all, but I still think he's a very good passer of the football. And since especially Pittsburgh doesn't have a lot to throw to, you're going to want to throw the ball very good when you do throw it. Like, it's the same thing with Seattle. Like, no one understood that Russ Wilson wasn't getting paid hundreds of millions of dollars to throw the ball a lot. He was getting paid $100 million to throw the ball really well whenever he did. And I think that's going to be the case. I think we're going to see a very ground and pound offense. But whenever he does chuck it down the field to Pickens, it needs to be accurate. You know, of course, that could lead to their passing game is so bad. Let's just get Justin Fields on there and let him run. It's a distinct possibility, but I still think Wilson's the starter. So I put him above, but Carr's last. That's the easy one. Like, I don't want to start him is what it comes down to. I would rather have the upside of Fields on my bench than Carr as my QB2.
I have basically the same list, except for I have Carr above Pittsburgh Steelers QB. So that's the only thing. I mean, Carr is the known starter. Like,
which is mind boggling because they literally just benched him for play at some point last year.
Yeah. And he really, the structure of his deal is such that, you know, he definitely has this season.
Yeah.
But after that, kind of a mess.
But at this point, one year is kind of.
Most of these guys are 1 year players. Except
exactly. Yeah. So, but I think Mayfield has some safety there. So I'm glad it was easy for you guys with Cousins. It's just, it's funny to me. I'm sure it'll continue to change. But even in leagues where I have Cousins, there was just no interest whatsoever this offseason in him. And I was so confused by, like, I was like, guys, this is the exact time to buy him before he goes to the Falcons or he goes to somewhere else, or he just comes back to the Vikings. Like, there were so many positive outcomes on the table for him. And in all of my leagues, it was like, he's 35. He's whatever, blah, blah, blah. No, like, he's probably got 2+ years of decent play. And he's been consistently really good for a long time. He's like, and right now on the calculator, he's quarterback 26, which is, that's pretty crazy. So
I have Cousins. 109 for Cousins today, and I turned it down.
Well, there you go. And as soon as he has the landing spot, there's clarity, and people are like, oh, crap, I got to go get him now. Too late. That ship has sailed. Enjoy the free production for those of you who did acquire him or still have him, because he's going to be very good with John Bosch's favorite player. So Kirk Cousins, Baker Mayfield for myself. I had Aaron Rodgers, but I'm not really sure what version of him we're getting at this point. So I'm not confident in that whatsoever. I think more than likely, whoever is the Steelers quarterback outproduces whatever version of Rodgers we have at this point. They have their top wide receiver. They'll probably fix this, but the top wide receivers for the Jets right now are Garrett Wilson, Alan Lazard, and Xavier Gibson, an undrafted free agent, which is actually a real person, by the way, believe it or not. I'm not really sure how that goes. But then I have Fields, Wilson, and then Carr. It's interesting. Carr is actually higher on the calculator than Russell Wilson. But I'm right where you are, Russ. I don't want to start him at all if I have him. So that's kind of like the end of, like, hey, I might consider starting this guy ever tier. So And like right below this crew is like Daniel Jones, you know? So like it drops off a cliff fast. But I was just curious, but where would you stop ranking Cousins? Because above Cousins and this whole tier of guys is like Matthew Stafford, Deshaun Watson.
Cousins.
Okay. Bryce Young.
Cousins.
Will Levis.
Cousins.
J.J. McCarthy.
Cousins.
Jaden Daniels.
No.
See where he goes. I want Cousins in Atlanta over Jaden Daniels in New England.
Okay. Then it sounds like instead of being quarterback 26, he's around quarterback 19-ish, something like that.
Honestly, who's above these rookies?
Above that?
Yeah.
Above that, you got Jared Goff and Brock Purdy. Okay.
I'll take Cousins over Goff. Okay. Probably not over Purdy, but like I would get it if anyone did.
Wow. Okay. Okay. So in between 16 and 19, depending on landing spots for the rookies. And
yeah.
Okay. All right. Good to know.
And by the way, I don't know who I was thinking of, but I really thought the Jets had better pass catchers than just Garrett Wilson. I was completely very wrong on that part.
Really rough.
So Rodgers, I think, is too much of a competitive and confident jerk that I don't think he's going to go out there and half-ass it or anything. Like, I think he's going to be as good as he can, and he's still Aaron Rodgers. All right, so we are moving on to running back, which I always love when John brings running back because there's intrigue to it.
We're going gross today. So I'm just going to start it by saying Bengals starting running back. Does anybody know who that is?
Zach Moss, baby.
Heck yeah.
Is it Zach Moss? Or is it Chase Brown?
Chase, oh gosh.
Doesn't matter. They're worth the same.
Well, oh my gosh, are you serious?
Yeah. Yeah. They're basically both worth a 2024 third.
The Bengals are going to select the running back one. By the way, they're going to be the first one to select the running back off the board.
So, I mean, like, I get what we think of Zach Moss, but don't we think he showed enough when Jonathan Taylor was hurt that like we shouldn't completely scoff at his name?
I'm not scoffing at his name.
No, it's just third, he's not. Trade for him. Yeah, he's fine. He was really productive actually for like the 2-3 week span or something. He should be replaced as a starter.
The Bengals have Braylon Allen written all over them. Like, that seems to be like a move the Bengals would make and like go in the first round and do it. Like, when everybody else is saying don't do it, the Bengals will do it.
Yeah. Trey Benson would be my bet, but Braylon would be interesting too. I'm intrigued to see what he does at his pro day. He didn't run for the 40, so. Yeah.
It better not be a first rounder. They better not spend a first rounder.
Knowing that I'm not thrilled by any of these running backs, I've decided to plant my flag on Marshawn Lloyd because his name is so close to Marshawn Lynch that I'm gonna say that's my analysis.
That works. All right. So nonetheless, right now the Bengals have not drafted a first round running back. And they probably will take a day two one. Hopefully they wait till day two.
By the way, I forgot. Sorry. Just one sec. Braylon Allen did already have his pro day and he didn't run. Forgot to mention that. I just had to double check my notes. Yeah. So he's just not, we don't know how fast he is.
Combine's going to erode, by the way.
That is interesting. Why would he not run at his pro day?
I don't know. Because he's still working on footwork and receiving game stuff. And I asked him about it at the combine. But the thing is, it's not going away because like the off field, like interviews and medical and all this other stuff and the media loves it. Like it's like that's the combine in Indianapolis that week is like media mecca. So
like a lot of the lower end players need the combine. Absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I think we're going the way of Caleb Williams soon and a lot of the top end players.
Yeah,
probably. If they can have people come and watch them in their own environment, why not just do that? They probably get it sponsored and get paid to do it too. Instead of going to an NFL sanctioned event where the NFL makes the money, go to a private event where they make the money. That makes way more sense.
Yeah, actually, the Big 12 conference. Sorry, I'm kind of derailing things here a little bit, but the Big 12 conference is actually hosting their own joint pro day featuring multiple schools all together, like Baylor, BYU, UCF, Cincinnati, Houston, Iowa State, all those schools. In Frisco, like March 27th. To the 30th. So like a whole bunch of schools all together, kind of making it their own little mini
And if I'm a scout, I love that because that's less travel.
Oh, yeah, exactly. So they're consolidating all the Big 12 interest, mainly because there's like each school is in the Big 12 sucks. And so they only have like one player that's interesting per school at this point.
So are you about to ask Zach Moss or Chase Brown or a third?
Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, that's typically the way these discussions go.
I mean, yeah, why not? I mean, I think the gamble on Moss and Brown is still better than whatever you're going to draft in the third. Whatever you're drafting the third, you're probably more excited about because it's going to be the next Puka guys. It's going to be the next whatever, you know, Tank Dell, right? That's what happens. But yeah, why not take a shot on the guys that we know? Because what happens if they don't draft a running back? What if they do just like what they saw in their running backs? You just got the starting running back for the Bengals for a third. Is that likely? No. But who knows what happens, especially it's running back and it's March. Sure, why not?
Travis?
Is this a random third? Just a
random third. The calculator doesn't even third. Wait.
It doesn't even matter.
12th because they're a third. They're a throwaway.
So the package of both running backs versus a random third.
No. Pick one of the running backs.
Oh,
so it's,
I'll go with the random third. I'll go with the random third. Whatever, like there's gonna be 15 plus wide receivers in day one and day two this year, and five or six running backs and six quarterbacks and three or four tight ends, and I'll take the best of whatever remains there and as a random third, or you know, my favorite production profile or whatever it is, over either of those guys.
Travis kind of did hit on what I would really like to do. I'd like to just get them both for like either two thirds or a third and a fourth, like put them both on my roster. Yeah. Then I'd feel really good, especially if the Bengals don't take a running back. Then I'd feel even better. I'd probably gamble a third as long as it's not auction dollars.
Oh, yeah.
like an actual draft pick third. I would gamble it on one of them. It's a third. It's
easy enough to grab thirds along the way to draft later on. Yeah.
I tend to have extras of those laying around from time to time. All right,
so what could this list possibly look like?
This list, like 2 years ago, would have been a very nice-looking list. J.K. Dobbins. Oh. Alexander Mattison. Jerome Ford. And Devin Singletary, plus the Bengals running backs. This is what you can get for a third. Like, you're definitely getting one of these running backs on this list of six is going to be like a starting running back. Okay. And there's an outside chance one of them finishes as like, you know, probably the running back 15 or 16, something like that. Every year there's crazy running backs that just all of a sudden they work.
So J.K. Dobbins, Jerome Ford, Alexander Mattison. Okay. Yep.
Devin Singletary, Chase Brown, Zach Moss.
I lumped the Bengals running backs into one because...
Well, you can't get both of them for that.
I refuse to have 2 weeks in a row where John gave us a list of six players. So I put Singletary first.
And the number one for New York?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's good enough. And... what that offense might not be terrible. Like if they end up with a quarterback and things change, like, or if they stay with Jones and they end up with Neighbors or something, like that offense might not be terrible. And that's enough for a guy who might get 65-75% of the work because there's nothing behind him. And that's really what it is. And I have Jerome Ford second because he's the starting running back there. I mean, maybe Nick Chubb comes back at some point, but he's going to be a shell of what he was. And Ford is at least, if anything, much faster than Chubb was anyway before he got hurt. Except Ford did not do much when he had the ball last year anyway. But still, to me, he's more likely to get the ball than the rest of these guys. I have the Bengals running backs third. You could say third or fourth if you want to spread them out. And again, because it's a gamble that one of them might be the starter, it makes me one of the saddest people ever to put Dobbins fourth because I liked him so much coming out of college and it just did not go his way. I hope he gets a chance somewhere and turns into like hopefully a little better Deonta Foreman. You know, Foreman had his run after his Achilles injury. I know that's not what Dobbins had, but still multiple injuries. And then Madison 5, because I've never been interested in Alexander Madison, and putting Alexander Madison on the Raiders really doesn't help at all.
It's interesting comment from you with Chubb and Ford. I'm not sure. I mean, Chubb might not be himself for a while. Yeah, but I guess I think he's bounced back from injury before, and I know he's old, but I don't know. I think he's still got something left in the tank once he does get back up to speed fully. But
it would make me so happy if that were the truth. But like, yeah. Honestly, I still also have it in my head of what that injury should have been. Right. Like, it looked like his knee was destroyed, but when they got in there, it wasn't nearly as bad as they thought it was. Like, I saw that hit, and I'm like, he's walking with a cane for the rest of his life.
Yeah. Well, that's what we thought, actually, when he was a true freshman, even.
Oh, my, that was so bad.
Yeah, it was a really, really bad injury back then, and he did rip everything up at that point, so glad he was able to have the career that he's had. But the runaway, obvious number one in this group to me is Devin Singletary, but, like...
How weird is that statement?
10 feet of like earth, like just way higher above all of them by
they all margin. Came in on the calculator for worth a third.
Yeah. And to me,
like, surprising. Like, these guys should be worth a third.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think you're getting a second for Singletary at this point.
What do you think his Singletary's worst season is in terms of yards from scrimmage for his career? Absolute worst.
I don't know, like 700 or 800 probably.
Yeah. I was going to be around 800. Like, he's never been bad when he played. He's just never been good. And when he was good, it was last year on the Texans where we've seen anyone be good. So,
Devin Singletary never logged less than 956 yards from scrimmage.
Yeah, that's good.
And he's never logged more than 1,100.
Oh, I was really hoping you were going to say like 975. Yeah, I was really hoping
he was so good. It's a ridiculously tight range, though. I mean, like, to be in between 956 and 1,099 for your entire career, 5 years in a row, that's wild. And he's never
1,000 yards over 17 games, like, isn't actually impressive.
It's not a lot at all.
But availability, man, availability, dude. Like that. I mean, he missed some games his first year, but outside of that, he's been basically there every single week. And
late career Frank Gore, baby, running back, top 12 running back, just because he never missed a game.
Yeah, and so I think he's gonna be given the reins, and that's gonna be his job, and that's clear. So to me, it's like by 10 miles, Devin Singletary. And then after that, I guess the upside with Jerome Ford, if there are any hiccups with Chubb, I guess I'm not necessarily disagreeing with you, Russ, on that necessarily. It's just I think Chubb could be better. I hope he's better.
I would love it.
And then Zach Moss, because I think he's going to be the 1A there. And then I guess Chase Brown, Alexander Madison, and then J.K. Dobbins last. Which feels terrible to say, because I mean, he was just so good in college, and he was so promising as a prospect, but he just never, ever, 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 ever stayed healthy. And that just, it's such a bummer, because
I don't remember anybody coming back and getting injured as many times.
I know, like, it just was nonstop. It's just like he could not catch a break. Like, he
injury. It wasn't like Saquon, who twisted his ankle after coming back from an ACL, or Keenan Allen, who tore his ACL and then ruptured his spleen.
Yeah. I mean, he was just – and what he did at Ohio State – you know, actually, I don't know if you guys realize this, but on the College to Canton podcast that I've been doing with Stephon for years, the Gus Johnson call is a J.K. Dobbins true freshman season run, like a huge long touchdown. Because I just remember being so blown away by his performance. I mean, even out the gate, I think it was actually maybe in his first or second game, because he set the true freshman record for Ohio State with his first ever performance, because he had over 200 yards from scrimmage. Oof. In his first ever college game. He had 181 rushing yards, 24 receiving yards. He dominated out of the gate and basically did it for two more years after that, and was supposed to be a big deal, and it just never came to fruition. I mean, he finished his career with a 2,000-yard season. He was supposed to be the next Zeke, and it just didn't happen. So having him last hurts.
Right. So let's wipe the smug grin off your face of making us feel gross with our list. What's your list look like, John?
Same top two, Singletary, then Jerome Ford. I have Madison last on my list.
Yep.
I don't have high hopes for him. I can't. It's the other three that I really can't decide what to do. I want Dobbins to be back and healthy.
I know.
Like, and the running back for the Ravens. But I don't know if I can put him above the healthy Bengals. So I, you know, that was overall what, but I did put Dobbins above Madison because I'd still rather have Dobbins.
Yep.
I'm not putting him last. I have my Chase Brown. I actually want Chase Brown over Zach Moss. I don't really care. I'll take the younger one that's already been on the Bengals and had a few big plays for them. I really don't care between the two of them. Doesn't matter. And then Dobbins after them. So
get well, JK. Get well. All right. So I brought wide receiver to the party and I went against my own judgment. I wanted to just bring Calvin Ridley for many, many reasons, but I didn't because I know there's one player that I think people would want to hear about more. And that's the thing we chase forever, the new Kansas City wide receiver. And I brought Hollywood Brown to the list. And Hollywood Brown comes in at 7.4 on the calculator, which is equal to the 204. So we're in that area of the draft where you're throwing darts at wide receivers. And while Hollywood Brown has been in the league for 36 years already, he's only 26 years old. Like, that's not even old for a wide receiver. And now he gets to play with Patrick Mahomes. So what do you think in that 204 area? Is it worth it just to throw the dart at the older vet that is now on, you know, the best team in the league? Or take your shot at those wide receivers, running back 2 or 3 or tight end 2 or 3?
204 or Hollywood Brown?
Yep.
I'll go ahead and take Hollywood Brown. That might be the first time I've ever said that, but I'll take Hollywood Brown for that. That seems cheap. Honestly, cheap.
Yeah, it does. I think I still barely lean the pick, I guess, but not confidently. I'm not sure that Hollywood Brown is going to be the answer. I know they've been trying to find, vertical threats and wide receivers who weren't even really wide receivers in the first place to kind of be that guy. I wouldn't be surprised if actually they still go wide receiver in the draft, and he's relegated to like wide receiver 3 on the team, which is like the fourth target. So behind Rashee Rice and Travis Kelce. And so, I mean, even now we're talking about him being like the at best third target behind Rice and Kelce if they don't add any additional help. So I think I'd probably lean the pick and go with the young and upside of having another shot in the early second.
See, like I want Marquise Brown here. And the thing is, there's absolutely nothing to do with him being on the Chiefs. I just really like the player and I believe in the player. And it's cool that he's going to be catching the ball from Mahomes. My real worry is the offensive line in Kansas City has been bad for a couple of years now. And so their offense has been less and less downfield, which means Marquise might just be that better for real football than for fantasy, because he'll be that deep threat that opens up the bubble screens for Rice. Like that's my real concern, because clearly Valdes-Scantling and whatever else they put out there as the fast guy wasn't good enough. Marquise Brown is good enough. So that's my concern. But still at the 204, I'll take a dude that scored as a top 20 fantasy wide receiver before. And again, I still think once the season rolls around, you can get a second for him, a game or two in. As long as if he puts up one double-digit game fantasy-wise, I think you can move him for the price you pay for him if you regret your decision. So I'll take Hollywood Brown because of liking him and because I think it's a safe-ish bet for now. So I went with a very short, very relevant list, and it is Keenan Allen, Marquise Brown, and then teammates DeAndre Hopkins and Calvin Ridley. So we have older players, 3 of which just moved teams, and 1 of which got a new teammate.
Keenan Allen, and you said Calvin Ridley, and Marquise DeAndre Brown Hopkins. And DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah, just the 4 of them.
Okay. So 2, yeah. Keenan Allen, Calvin Ridley.
I just also need to say I am heartbroken that the Chargers traded Calvin Ridley. Like, I'm not a Chargers fan. It doesn't affect me in any way, shape, or form.
You mean Keenan Allen?
Did I say Calvin Ridley?
Yeah, that's okay.
He's on my brain. That is not a surprise to anyone. I thought that powder blue Keenan jersey would be the one thing that I never had to be like, oh, he's not there anymore.
I'm going to go with Calvin Ridley.
Which first. Is why I see his name, because he's on the top of my list also.
Yeah, he's definitely on the top of the list. The Titans are they paid a lot of money to get Calvin Ridley. Came in with too good of an offer. So definitely going to go with him. And according to him, he's only like 25, according to, you know, how he feels or whatever.
Well, even though he's 29 and you took 2 years off, you kind of are 25-ish.
Yeah, so I think he's young. He's going to be the focal point of the aerial attack for the Titans, which I think should actually be the most pass-heavy look we've ever seen for the Titans in like over a decade. Like, yeah. So I'm going to go with him first. And then second, I'll go Keenan Allen, because whatever version of him with Caleb Williams is going to be really fun. So immediate production. And then I'll go Marquise Hollywood Brown and DeAndre Hopkins is just very close to on the way out at this point. And he's going to be second fiddle at best in the Titans offense, which is not a great place to be. So yeah, I think that's it.
I don't know that first fiddle in the Titans offense is the best place
to be. I'm telling you, it's not going to be the same though. It is not with Brian Callahan coming in, and it's just not going to be, it's not going to look like the Titans. I mean, Henry's gone, balance at running back. It's going to be really weird to watch the Titans.
Will Levis is their quarterback, right?
Yeah, who just yeets the ball 60 yards downfield without any like reckless abandon. So air yards galore, man. So
yeah, there might be a lot of air yards. I hope they convert, because I do have Ridley second and I have Hopkins third. So I do hope the Will Levis experience does convert to some actual yardage. Did
you think about anything before you put Hollywood on the bottom?
It was him versus Hopkins, and let's see, it's been like a decade.
You didn't just say Hollywood last. Okay, that's
no. I mean, it was between him and Hopkins, and I've never once taken Marquise Brown above Hopkins yet. So why would I start now? Keenan Allen first. So
interesting. Okay,
Keenan Ridley. Hopkins, Marquise Brown, tiers, maybe nobody. I don't know if there's really a tier break in here anywhere. They all feel very similar. Ridley does have a little bit of an age, a little bit. I get that. Like he's, or maybe not age. The longer term contract, the longer term investment, it's still not enough for me to put him above Keenan or in a tier of his own.
It's crazy to me that Ridley and Hopkins are only 2 years apart, even though they've been in the league, what, like 5 years difference? That's crazy. I have Ridley first, and I've come to realize that this rationalization doesn't work at all, but I'm still going to say it anyway. They paid him a lot of money, so they're going to try and get him the ball. Like, we've seen that not follow through, but I'm still going to stick with it because I'm going to rationalize it as much as I can to make me happy with the landing spot. So Calvin Ridley one, Keenan Allen two. Yeah, I have the same list as Travis. I mean, Keenan Allen two. I'm a little weirded out by Keenan and DJ Moore on the same field at the same time. Like, that feels very low, like West Coast offense. Like, take three steps, throw three back, throw the ball, three back, throw the ball, which I guess is good PPR. That's what we play.
Let's hope.
You know? And then Marquise Brown, just because I think at this point, like Travis said, there's more upside against DeAndre Hopkins with the age and second, third option at best on the field. And I'm still not sad for Calvin Ridley and Treylon Burks getting to learn from DeAndre Hopkins. I'm still crossing my fingers for Burks to do not terrible. But I mean, that's fading as every day.
Yeah.
But I still, it's still there. There's still a spark. There's still a spark.
I will say I think
Treylon Burks is worth less than the running backs that I brought to the show today.
Yes, and that sucks.
That is unfortunate. What do you guys know how high DeAndre Hopkins is in terms of like the all-time receiver receiving yards list now?
Oh,
he's got to be up there.
Like third, just guess, like ranked all-time among all players in NFL history. you know, receiving yards ever. Like, where do you think he ranks?
I mean, is it as high as like
fourth
all time?
You act I could name four old receivers.
Guys,
assume Jerry Rice is number 12. One, and I know nothing else.
The top four: Jerry Rice, Larry Fitzgerald, Terrell Owens, and Randy Moss. So that he's not going to get in those top four. He's 23rd. So, yeah, there's a bunch of.
Oh yeah, he's only like I was about to say he's only been playing for about 11 years. That's still a long time, but those guys played for like 24 years.
Yeah, he had over 1,000 yards last year. If he has 1,000 yards this year, he'll actually pass guys like a Hall of Famers like Steve Argent, Andre Reed. He'll pass up Torrey Holt. He'll be right behind Julio Jones all time, too. So, he's going to be a Hall of Famer if he just stays in the league, catching, you know, 2-3 balls a game for like two more years. So,
all those 600 yard seasons for a couple of years, move into the slot, be it an 8-foot tall slot guy, go for it.
Yeah, seriously. He's very, very close to like getting in that absolute Hall of Fame lock range if he just sticks around. So it's pretty cool. So maybe the Titans will try to force feed him for one more season. I almost, because of that reason, almost put him up there above. You know, I'm just gonna do it because they're gonna try to make it happen. They're gonna try to get him above some thresholds just for good measure. So I'll put Hollywood on the bottom just because I know that's
what right.
You go down. Yeah,
I like it.
I thought we had something.
All right. Sorry.
Well, now we're closing down the floor of Dynasty Wall Street. I'm hurt. It needs to end. Russ Fisher, Dynasty Outhouse, John Bosch at John Bosch FF, Travis May. We need to like get one format for our Twitter handle so I don't fumble it every single time. Travis May at FF_Travis_May.